Chapter 17, The Corrections, Spring 2004. One day early in 2004, Colonel Alan King, the Civil Affairs and Tribal Specialist at the CPA, held an unhappy meeting at a Baghdad mosque with Sheikh Harith al-Dari, the chairman of the Association of Muslim Scholars, a hard-line group with links to the Sunni insurgency. The encounter had been arranged to discuss the security situation, but the Sheikh was clearly bothered by another issue. He changed the subject and began to speak in a matter-of-fact manner about what he had been hearing of cruel, even sadistic handling of prisoners by U.S. soldiers at the Abu Ghraib prison west of the capital. King was having none of it. "I got really pissed," King later recalled. He was personally affronted by such allegations. "I said, I'm an American soldier. We don't act that way." "So," King concluded, confrontationally, "if you've got pictures, documents, you show me. And if you don't," he added, "don't insult me with these false allegations." 4 months later, after the Abu Ghraib scandal broke and the images of torture and cruelty had gone around the world, King would receive a tart message from the Sheikh. "Have you seen enough pictures now?" The Bush administration offered three basic rationales for the U.S. intervention in Iraq: the threat it believed was posed by Saddam's WMD, the supposed nexus it saw between Saddam Hussein's government and transnational terrorism, and the need to liberate an oppressed people. In the spring of 2004, the first two arguments were undercut by official findings by the same government that had invaded Iraq, and the third was tarred by the revelation of the Abu Ghraib scandal. In January 2004, David Kaye, as he stepped down from his post as head of the Iraq Survey Group, the U.S. government intelligence organization created to hunt for Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, announced that he concluded that Saddam Hussein had destroyed his weapons stockpiles in the 1990s, but had tried to bluff about still having them in order to maintain an image of power. "Everyone was wrong," Kaye said. In October 2004, Charles Delfer, who succeeded Kaye as head of the ISG, produced the group's final findings. There was no such arsenal, the weapons inspector concluded in a 1,000-page report. Saddam had indeed eliminated his weapons in the early 1990s, but had tried to preserve the intellectual and physical ability to restart the weapons program at some point. Delfer also said that he had found no evidence of an effort to buy uranium from other countries, and he testified to the Senate that, as some analysts had suspected, the aluminum tubes Iraq was buying, which the Bush administration had made central to the argument that Iraq was developing a nuclear capability, were indeed for conventional military rockets. In front of the whole world, the United States government asserted that Saddam Hussein had reconstituted his nuclear weapons program, had biological weapons and mobile biological weapon production facilities, and was producing chemical weapons, the Rob Silberman Commission noted 6 months later, and not one bit of it could be confirmed when the war was over. Also in 2005, the CIA issued an internal report that amounted to a major correction of its previous conclusions on chemical weapons. Titled Iraq, No Large-Scale Chemical Warfare Effort Since Early 1990s, the report concluded that Iraq probably did not pursue chemical warfare efforts after 1991. Usually, the aftermath of intelligence errors is somewhat ambiguous. Richard Kerr, a former senior CIA official who was hired by the agency to review its pre-war analysis, told the Los Angeles Times, which was consistently solid in its coverage of intelligence issues, "But the situation is rather unique," he said, "because of the ability of the U.S. government to scour occupied Iraq for WMD. Ordinarily, you're never proven wrong in a clean, neat way." Meanwhile, no solid evidence of a nexus between Iraq and Islamic extremist terrorists, such as Al-Qaeda, surfaced either. In June 2004, the bipartisan 9/11 Commission, formerly known as the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks Upon the United States, released its report, which concluded, unanimously, that while there had been contacts between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein's Iraq, It had seen no evidence of a collaborative operational relationship. Instead, by the end of 2004, the U.S. intelligence community would conclude that the invasion had turned Iraq into a new breeding ground for a fresh generation of tougher, more professional Islamic extremist terrorists.